It's always good. But I remember one son told the mother, he said, "Stop making jokes. You are not funny." And the mother turned around and said, "But I gave birth to you." I know your mom has done a lot of work for your children. You know, the first 2 years itself is like trying to teach your kid how to walk and talk. Am I right? And for the next 16 years, you ask your kid to sit down and shut up, right? Okay, so it happens that way. It's an enormous task. But one of the greatest joy is when a God-fearing mother always get Jesus involved in their children's life. Isn't it true? We always want to get Jesus involved. At the same time, we want them to know that their life is not by themselves. We want them to know that the children can be blessed as long as Jesus is involved in their lives. Did I say the right thing? Come on. Did I say the right thing? Amen. That's right. So you know what? I'm going to read probably a bit long passage, and I want you to follow with me. It's all in the slides here. And getting Jesus involved is so vital. And it's a message for mothers. It's also a message for all of us. All right, as we learn to get the society involved in what Jesus is involved in. So please come along with me as we celebrate today's Mother's Day with John chapter 2 in verse 1 to verse 11. Let me read along as you follow with me. Are you ready for God's Word, by the way? Are you ready for God's Word? Yeah? In chapter 2, in verse 1 to 11, on the third day, take note of the word, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons, simply means 75 to 144 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Somebody say amen. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in them. Father, today, this morning, we commit your word into your hands. Let your Holy Spirit, O Abba, Father, release the anointing and let the word go forth in your authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus attended the wedding feast with his mother as well as with his disciples. The wedding was very steeped with tradings and extravagant feast. But something went wrong in the midst of that celebration. There was a miscalculation, and it will be indeed a humiliation to the bride and to the groom. Remember this, hospitality is an important gesture in the ancient Middle East, and I believe it is also important to all of us, especially people like us who are very generous, wanting people to be looked after and cared for. And so John was the only gospel recorded this particular first miracle. That's the only gospel who wrote that. And when John recorded this, in comparison with 8 other miracles that he had written, I want to show you some of the 8 miracles that he had done. But the very first that he did was to turn water into wine. And a lot of you who are wine drinkers, you probably say amen and amen. But I want you to know the wine is not the same. That's my belief, because in the olden Hebrew Jewish culture, they do not believe in getting drunk. Therefore, my strong belief is that the wine they're talking is a pure wine without any element to get people drunk. All right? Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine, is a great sign. It is the first sign of his divinity and his divine transactions. I want you to see what Jesus' miracles is. It is not a supernatural violations of natural order, but it is supernatural restorations to nature. The next slide, please. This is Jesus' miracles. His miracle is not to break the natural law, but to restore the nature. And so the Bible began with verse 1. It was during a wedding feast. The very first word, on the third day. On the third day is a very important day for us to look at. It is a biblical word to refer to a new birth or even a transition of old to new. You can see for many other different records in the Old Testament, when the word third day was recorded, something happened. You can see that in Abraham's time when he sought the place to offer his son Isaac. It was on the third day. And on the third day, God met his people at Mount Sinai. And even in Hosea, the Lord mentioned about after 2 days, God revived them. And on the third day, he restored them. There was a significant day when the word was mentioned on the third day. Jonah's life was brought up from the pit on the third day itself. And if you look at the creation on the third day, when the plants that make wine become possible and it was first brought forth from the earth, was also on the third day. So John's deliberation on the third day is to point onto the glory of God that is to come. Now we begin to see the event that reflects the glory. And what was that event? On the third day itself, something happened. The wine ran out in John chapter 2 from verse 1 to verse 3. It was a great humiliation. It was an embarrassment to the bride and to the bridegroom. Wine ran out. I must tell you this. In the Jewish understanding of the wine could also be referred to the joy. When there is wine, there is joy. So when there was the wine running out, it's something about joy dissipating. It's about joy that is now losing out or leaking out of that environment. I do not know about you, church, whether you have experienced anything that is running out. I know some people run out of patience. Somebody say amen. Some people run out of money. Hallelujah. They turn to the Lord and say, God, I need more money, Lord. I'm running out. Some people run out of gas when they drive in a long distance. Some people run out of ideas when they do not know what to do and coming to their wits' end. Some people run out of joy and happiness in the home because they have gone away from the Lord. Having a bad shape, having a bad day during that time. But when the wine ran out, and listen to the word, my dear brothers and sisters, the Bible says, Mary turned to Jesus. Somebody say amen. When something is running out, when something is happening, when something negative is taking place, Mary turned to Jesus. How many of us would turn our hearts and our mind to Christ when we are running out of something, when we do not know where to turn, we do not know what the answer will be, we don't have a solution, but Mary turned to Jesus because Jesus is the answer. Amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Hallelujah. And this is what happened. Mary turned to Jesus. And this is what she did. Mary said to the Lord Jesus himself, he says, they have no more wine. They have no more wine. And Jesus said, dear woman, why do you get me involved? My time has not yet come. I believe Mary has shown us one very powerful message for all mothers and every one of us. As a mother, she has such great wisdom. She got Jesus involved. I ask of you, why did she get Jesus involved? And I look at it and I realize that she knew. She knew only this Jesus can handle the situation. Only this Jesus can go right into the minute details of your family life. Only this Jesus knows what is at the corner of your heart and your mind. Only this Jesus. So she turned and she got Jesus involved. He says, they don't have any more wine. You see, I was just thinking, why do you get Jesus involved with the wine? You see, making wine is going to take a long time. And here you're asking the Lord to handle the situation. As I began to meditate upon it, I realized that Jesus is the Lord who actually can handle every detail of my daily life. Even the smallest things. Even you will say, but Lord, I do not know where to get this. I do not know where to buy this. I do not know where to get some of this help. But the Lord is the one who cares and knows the detail of my daily life. You remember the story, the woman who had little oil. And she thought to herself, I will probably just bake some little muffins for myself. And maybe some banana cake for that matter. And then after that, let my children and I die. Even the little oil, God handles it, and God performed a miracle. Even the little, look at the little boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, I'm sure some of you will work on some fish and chip stuff or whatever. And that little stuff that the little boy had, Jesus handled the situation. The people were hungry. The people were very hungry. And then Jesus took care of it. You see, our Lord handles every minor details as well. Every minor details. Not just the major one. And you know what some Christians do? They do this. They only go to Jesus for major needs. But they never come to Him with small needs. You know, I came to Jesus and said, Lord, why is my hair so little? I asked the Lord many years ago. There was no answer, so I gave up on that. But it doesn't mean that He did not look after. You see, all these years, my hair was sustained. Hallelujah. There was no multiplication, but I was sustained. Amen? There was a nice shape. Anybody ask me about hair fashion, I've only one. You see, this kind of choice doesn't confuse me. It only has one choice. But when I was young, you know, Tony, just like you, when we were young at that time, I had center parting. Wow. Center parting, you know what? And man, it was really cool. But today, it was really center. It has parted, by the way. It has parted. It has parted. Seriously parted. Never come back again. It got bigger and bigger and wider and wider. But then I look at myself in the mirror, I say, why, Lord? And the Lord never answered. Because those are very foolish questions. He's more interested in sustaining my hairstyle and handle all my major things. Amen? But I realize that even the small little things He looks after. Amen? He looks after that. Sometimes you say, but Lord, I want to buy a pair of shoes for my kids. What should I do? Some of you may say, come on, just go over and just buy. But sometimes we do pray that would this bring happiness to my little boy? Would this bring joy to him or not? I asked the Lord. You see, we don't have much when we were young. And all I could was buy imitation brand. Isn't it? When you have Adidas, we call Abibas. Huh? You get it from Vietnam or you get it from India or you get it from somewhere else. But there is a brand. Instead of getting Levi, you get Live. So it's a Live jeans rather than Levi jeans. So you get all this imitation stuff. But you see, we just buy and say, Lord, I thank you. Even that little things, we can offer thanksgiving. Amen. Because Jesus cares for all the little things that we have. Do not always think that God doesn't care. Jesus calmed the storm when the storm was strong and heavy. And the people on the boat were confused and wondering. And this is a very difficult situation for them. But Jesus came and calmed the storm. Yes, only Jesus can handle all these minor details. But if you look very carefully, Mary knew only Jesus can take the humiliation away. Only Jesus can take your guilt away. Only Him can take your shame away. Somebody agree with me, say amen. He can take those things away. And I believe it all my heart. Because the insufficiency of the wine has brought humiliation and embarrassment. But only Jesus can take that away. And if you think you've been walking along the street with people who have badmouthed you, have slandered you, making you feel lousy about yourself, listen, Jesus can take that away. He can, because He has the power to do so. You see, the couple ran out of possibilities. They do not know what to do. And we know if you ask an expert of wine, you probably hear them saying to you, it takes about 10 to 15 days to ferment with new technology. But during those days, it probably will be more. I'm not too sure about that. But as far as I'm concerned, the couple is now running out of possibilities. But only Mary knew what Jesus can do. Can I recommend to you today? Do you believe that Jesus can? Somebody say amen. Do you believe that Jesus can? Do you believe that Jesus can? Do you believe that Jesus can? If you believe, I want you to know and give praise to Him. But you see, there's only one thing I come to the point of that scripture. I say, Lord, I know you can. I know you can. And suddenly just dawned on me, I do not know how. I know Jesus can, but I just do not know how. So Mary knew. Mary knew that Jesus can. He knew that Jesus would be able to handle the situation. Jesus was told to be involved. Mary did not come to Jesus and say, they do not have wine, trying to inform Him about the situation. No, she was there to involve Jesus with the situation. You see, you don't talk to your children about Jesus. You tell them who Jesus is and get them involved with Jesus' life. Are you with me? You know why youngsters today don't even know much about Jesus? Because we only talk about Jesus. We don't leave out for them to be involved with Jesus. We need that. Can I say to the society today, get Jesus involved. Get Jesus involved in our family life. Involving Jesus, friends, requires you to do what He tells you to do. Because Mary said to the servant, or rather spoke to the servant and said, do whatever He tells you. When you get Jesus involved, you need to do what He tells you to do. I do not know about you, but during my time, and some of you probably would have the same similar experience. You know, when I date my wife, my girlfriend at time, I just do not go about knowing her. You know what I mean? Oh, I know her. Oh, man, she is great. She is lovely. She is lovely. Oh, she is wonderful. You can see all that you want about her. But if you don't approach her, you don't bring her out and talk to her, you don't do anything about what you know, nothing is going to happen. She's not going to look at you, wow. She just fall in love because you know her. She won't. You understand what I'm talking about? You won't be able to appreciate a person by just knowing the person. You got to do what you're supposed to do. So knowing Christ is not enough. We need our children to be involved with what Jesus tells us to do. Look at the scripture. Mary said, do whatever he tells you to do. This is a very important word, and we must listen to Mary's word carefully. The more you talk about Jesus, it's good, but it's not sufficient until you let your children know what it means to do what he tells you to do. This is exactly where the turning point took place. Do whatever he tells you to do. We don't talk about Jesus only. We tell them what they need to do, what Jesus tells them. That's why in the church we talk about Jesus at the same time we talk about what he wants us to do. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about I know the Bible. Do you know there are many people who knows the Bible? So it doesn't mean that you know the Bible, you are a Christian. You got to do what he tells you to do. That makes us a believer in Jesus Christ. That began to point out where the turning points come. How many of us would miss our turning points for a miracle? Look at the next slide. It's not about knowing, but it's about doing that opens the door for miracles to happen. Can I say that one more time? It's not about knowing. It's about doing that opens the door for miracles to happen. Knowing will not open any door for miracles. It is when you start doing. When you start doing. Are you with me? Does it sound too profound? No, it isn't, right? It is just a simple truth. Knowing will not open any miracle, but doing will open the door of miracles today. And I want you to know one thing. That when you start doing, something is going to happen in your own home itself. When you start doing what God tells you, miracles begin. The door begin to open up for possibilities, for all the energies, for all the resources, because you start doing something that God has spoken to you. And what did Jesus tell the servants? Look at verse 6 and 7. He says, nearby stood 6 stone water jars. Everybody say to your neighbor, nearby. Come on. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for the ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servant, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Since they were told to do something, the Bible says, what do you have now? Look around you. What do you have? You don't have to go too far, by the way. You don't have to go at a distance. You just have to go nearby. You just have to look around where you are and see what are the resources you have. What are the things that you have? You don't have to go so far away and say, I need to give a call, you know, over your interstate and see what they have. No, you just have to look around you. Sometimes we just have to look inside here, because for all you know, the resource is just right here. It's always nearby. The Bible says, what do you have? It's all nearby. Look around you, perhaps in the very small little parameters. Look inside your home. If you are looking for miracle, look inside your home. There's something there that you need. I believe with all my heart, you don't have to look far. It's just right there. Because my God supplies all your needs. Just look right there. We don't have to look too far away. And you know what the Bible says? It says 6 stone jars. You see, Jesus doesn't look for golden stuff, posh stuff, prestigious items or people. He just looked for simple things. 6 stone jars. Limestone made, but not clay made. Simple, but available. God uses the simplest as long as it is available. God is not interested in those who have many things but are not available. God only looks for simpler stuff. And I look for simple people. I look for simple. Simple when their hearts have faith in God. Jesus told the servants to fill the jars. So they got 6 stone jars now. Each will carry about 70 over to 114 liters. So they were told to pour in the water. Nothing else, just water. No grapes, nothing, just pour water. And so they keep pouring, and the Bible says they pour to the brim. And the moment they finish pouring, Jesus says, take out. Take out. And then when they took out, he says, now take it to your master. When I saw that passage, I want you to realize something very powerful took place. There was an intentional process in the heavenly realm. There is a process. Fill it in, draw it out, and take it to the master of the banquet. One more time. Fill it in, draw it out, and take it to the master. I believe with all my heart that our hearts need to be filled in with the grace of God. And when we are so filled in with the grace of God, we can draw out the power of that grace from within us. And we draw out and the anointing begin to flow. And when you take it over, the impact of the anointing fall upon another person. Are you with me? You need to fill yourself with the wisdom of God. And when you're so filled with the wisdom of God, you draw out the living word of God from your heart. And when you draw out the living word and you bring it out to the master, the word of God will cause the change. Are you there? I saw that intentional process written by John. And that whole entire process is divine. We need to be so filled with the word of God. And when you draw out, there is so much living power from that word of God in your life. And when you draw that word of God, you begin to speak further. And life begin to go further in authority. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a purpose for this process. But a lot of our modern believers today are not in favor of that process. They want an immediate result. When they pour the water, wine should come out straight away. They want immediate result because we are so used with instant noodles. Put into the microwave, you get instant noodles. If anybody asks me, I can cook. Yes, I can. Instant noodles. Amen. But you see, that food is not going to be healthy for all of us. You saw the consequence right here. Eat too much of that will lead to baldness. But there's something there. I want you to look at the next slide. When God told, or Jesus told them to fill in, sometimes we struggle with this. Our attitude will probably be attached to this lack of faith. We will fill in the water, but we oftentimes wonder. We oftentimes figure out, how can it be done? There is so much uncertainty. Will the water turn into wine? How can? And another thing is that when God tells them to draw some out, some of us will be afraid. What happened is still water. What happened if I pour in and I'm not too sure whether I draw out any great results out of that. I'm not too sure if I were to start a church and I can draw out something good in that church. I'm not too sure if I were to preach the word and will I draw out the living power from the people's lives. I'm not too sure. So sometimes the attitude of fear and uncertainty begin to grieve our hearts. And if you look come to a part where God says, I want you to take it to the master. I want you to take it to, and you wonder whether would it be changed? Will there be a result that will glorify God? You're not sure. And so the attitude become very afraid. But you see, we cannot avoid this indispensable process. We must go through process. Church, can I say to you, don't run for immediate results. Go through the process. Go through the process. Raise the children up in Jesus' name. Go through the process. There will be ups and downs in between. But raise them up with a focus to see that when you fill in the Word of God into their life, and you will one day draw out something about the living Word in their life, and then you can see you take them into the future. Fill them. Fill them, draw them out, and take them into the future. I challenge you on that. And you know what? If you really want an immediate result, listen to what Jesus said in verse 8. Look at verse 8. What is the word? Now. He says, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Now. Don't delay anymore. Draw it out. Now. Now. A lot of our actions are delayed, and that is the reason why we don't experience any miracle. Yes, I fill in. But this point of time, the word came. Now, draw it out. Now, get your children involved. Now, get your children to do God's work. You fill in, 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 you fill in. And the day comes, the Lord says, now, draw them out. Draw them out. Take them to another level. Take them. Now. So Jesus told the servants to draw out. You see, what I realize is this. Jesus was pouring out the sense of urgency. The sense of urgency. What would you do? If there is a sense of urgency, what would you do? Some of you will probably say, I don't think it's just like you tell your kids, okay, boys, now clear your room and clean up your room. Mom, I'm so tired. Have you ever encountered that before? Those of you with many kids? You don't have? Wow, I saw angels all over the place. Oh, by the way, fallen angels, sorry. Now means what? Now, that's right. There is no need for any explanation. The master of the banquet took that water that has been turned into wine was utterly astounded. Because when you place in the hands of God with the process, every stage of action is driven by the urgency of the matter. So because they obeyed and they did it exactly when they're supposed to do, now, and they draw that out and gave it, and the master of the banquet was shocked. Look at verse 10. It may not be in your slide, but I'm going to read to you. He says this. He told the groom and he told the bride. He says, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. Probably the master of the banquet will be very puzzled by this whole sequence. Because culturally, you always give them the best wine. And then after they have enough, what do? You give them the poorer wine. But it was pretty strange to him. But I realized this. It's like the world today. The world today has a lot of Casanovas. The Casanovas are smooth talkers. They promise you all the best right now. But after marriage, that's the end of it. All the things suck you up. They destroy everything. But you were so drawn by the Casanova words because he was a smooth and sweet talker. And you feel like he is so Frenchy and so handsome and so macho, and you love that. And after marriage, it was destruction. That's what the world offers you. They offer you the best, and after that, he gives you the worst. But I thank God for Jesus. Somebody say amen.
I thank God for Jesus. It's unlike Jesus. Jesus brings out the ultimate best at the end. Somebody say amen. If you think you have got the best, I want you to know the best has yet to come. Somebody say amen. If you think you have all the answers, I want you to know you may have, but the best has yet to come. If you know your ways are good, but I want you to know the best of God's ways is coming. Are you with me? You see, the best of God is yet to come. If you think you have everything, I want you to know that is nothing, because the best is yet to come. If Life Solution thinks that we have a church that glorifies God with the fantastic musicians and song leaders, I want you to know the best has yet to come. Somebody say amen. I want to echo Mary's words. Do what he tells you to do. Are you with me? Do what he tells you to do, because the best is yet to come. Oh, suddenly everybody's so quiet, huh? When I tell them to do what the Lord wants you to do, everybody does the Michael Jackson moonwalk backwards. I was not on fire. The fire was already there when God was there. Somebody say amen. Do what he tells you to do. Come on. Do what he tells you to do. Tell your children, do what he tells you to do. Tell your wife, tell your husband, do what he tells you to do. Don't come around and say, do what I want you to do. Come on, do what he tells you to do. Somebody say it. Amen. There is a turning point for all of us. Yeah, oh, brother, you are getting fired too. That's good. That's good, Ben. That's good. I need people like you around. If nobody shares the word of God, I need you around, brother. Echo Mary's words. Come on. Echo Mary's words. Do what he tells you to do. And the servant did exactly. Fill it in, draw it out, and take it to the master. Today, fill in the word into the children's life, the word into the church. And there will be one day that God says, now, draw them out. Draw them out to serve him. Take them to the master. Amen? Take them to the master. Fill it all up and draw it out. Take it to the master. And that is what the pastors today must do. We are here to fill up God's word, not about ourselves. Fill it up in somebody's lives, and hopefully the day we draw out something great out of them. And then when they are drawn out, take it to the master. I took my children in that manner. Fill in whatever I need to fill in. Well, what you fill in, sometimes you have been challenged. Praise be to God. When the children challenge you, you don't challenge them with your opinion. Go back to the Word of God. And you fill them with the Word. And then one day you draw something out of their lives. And then when you draw them out, you know, you can take it to the Master. Lord, you have your way in their lives now. My hands are away. You have your way. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Handsome boy, what's your name? Raven. Raven. Man, you look like a macho guy. You look like a macho. That's your mom, right? You look a bit like your mom, by the way. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Oops. When the mother shows muscle like that, be careful. Be careful. I tell you honestly, be careful. My mom didn't show me that. My father did, but I'm not too sure why your mom showed it. You know what, Raven? Raven, the message is on Mother's Day is this. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Do what Jesus tells you to do. Because that's a turning point. No kids will be more intelligent than Jesus. When your children does what he tells them to do, they will grow in God's wisdom. They will definitely grow in God's wisdom. I believe the best is yet to come. Because there are many and much more for all of us to do what He tells us to do. If I said that I have all the good things, the Lord says, stop it. The best is yet to come. If you think you already have it, stop that. The best is yet to come. Do what He tells you to do. Can somebody say? Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.